You're listening to the Sheep Guarding Llama podcast for Tuesday, July 22nd, 2008. This is episode 60. I am your host, Scott Allen Miller. Welcome to the show. Well, it's great to be back. My goal in this episode, our golden anniversary episode, episode 60, which is pretty cool, is to kind of do a really quick recap of our latest trip to Walt Disney World. Dominic and I went in, I don't even know the exact dates now, the last day in May and the first 3 days in June. So this is obviously several weeks ago, and we wanted to do the podcast while we were there, but we were so tired. It was our vacation, and we just didn't have a chance to do it. And so she's not going to be doing this with me. I will be doing this on my own, unfortunately, but she wishes she could be here, obviously. We had a good time. Went for 4 days. This is a little bit longer than we went for last year. And this time, our goal was to go a lot slower. We've been to Disney World plenty of times recently. We're not like in a position where we want to go do all the rides and do all the different things and have to see everything. We really go, and it's about food and relaxing and the resorts and hitting a few of the rides and attractions that we really want to do. And it's a completely different experience at this point because we've been enough recently. And we know that late next year we are scheduled to go with her family on a huge 10-day trip to Walt Disney World. Now, we don't know if we're going to be there for all 10 days. We don't really know what's going to happen. But the plan is lots of time late next year in Disney World. And at that point, I keep saying this, but I really expect we're going to be doing a bit of podcasting and lots of pictures and lots of media and stuff because we're going to be really tired of the park by the time we're done. So we'll be kind of actually excited to be doing something different, I think. Although it's possible that just like this time, we're just going to be looking forward to sleep and sitting around relaxing and doing nothing, and because our schedules have been crazy and we're just at a point where we are exhausted a lot of the time. So we will see, but I will try my best. But definitely we will have tons of pictures next time. This time we were a little bit lean. I think we took about 55 pictures that went up on the Flickr feed. And for those of you who don't know how to find that, just head over to Flickr, which is, of course, flickr.com/photos/sheepguardingllama. And there's a set on there for Disney 2008, and you can see the pictures from this trip, which mostly, I do this every time. I'm completely addicted to the hydroponic facility there at the land, and I take tons and tons of pictures of the plants and the different techniques that they're using, and going through my pictures of the land is kind of like seeing the hydroponic facility evolve over the years. You can see the changes because I take so many pictures, and a few years ago, I actually took video of the entire ride, which I've never actually edited and gotten up online. So one of these days, that might happen. Right now, I use Pinnacle for my video editing, and at the moment, I don't have that installed, and that kind of puts a damper on things. And we're moving soon, and we have so much going on that I have kind of put it off, and I'm hoping that once we move, I will get that installed, and I will get tons of video edited and uploaded and get back into that because we've been kind of missing out on that. So my goal here is to kind of condense this whole trip into a really quick kind of explanation because we didn't have a whole lot of exciting stuff to talk about. We stayed at the Disney's Wilderness Lodge, which is it's located just off of Bay Lake. It actually has waterfront on Bay Lake, which is kind of cool. For those who don't know the layout, this is in the Magic Kingdom area, if you will. And the Magic Kingdom and the Contemporary Resort and the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian and Shades of Green are all located on the Seven Seas Lagoon, which is like the primary body of water in Walt Disney World where pretty much all the action takes place, if there was one body of water where the action took place. And that's the one that the famous monorail loop goes around, and they used to have tons of amazing white sand beachfront on the Seven Seas Lagoon, but because of recent health concerns in all of Florida, they've shut down all those beaches, which is a real blow to, I don't think too many people use them really, but it was always kind of a neat attraction that Disney had some of the best white sand beaches in Florida, and now they're, you can go stand on them, but you can't swim. So just to the, I actually don't know what direction it is. It seems like it's to the east, but it may not be. From Seven Seas Lagoon is an attached body of water known as Bay Lake. And Bay Lake used to have, in the middle of it, Discovery Island, which used to be Disney Zoological Park, which was absolutely awesome. It's one of my favorite things ever in Disney World. And they shut that down a number of years ago, which is incredibly sad. And now it's just a deserted island in the middle of this lake. But on the I guess the west side, whatever it what seems like the west side of the lake, is the Contemporary Resort, which sits on both bodies of water, and then just a little bit down from there is the Wilderness Lodge, and then down from there a little ways, not on the water, is the Fort Wilderness Campground. So the Wilderness Lodge is fairly new, very large, and it's one of the high-end luxury or deluxe resorts, they call them, with all the amenities, and it's very, very nice. And the thing that they really tout about it is that it's the most romantic of all the Disney resorts, and I think that's probably true. It's a little bit more secluded, it's a little bit less child-friendly. Not that they're not child, I mean, it's Disney, they're child-friendly, but it's geared far less towards children. There's fewer children's activities. The theming is a Northwest Canadian lodge, like up in Alberta or British Columbia, and so it's all a style that you don't generally associate with children and things that children would want to do. So children tend to stay away. Now, unlike the Animal Kingdom Lodge, where the lodge is centered around the safari, which is very, very cool and makes the resort a gigantic attraction all by itself, the Wilderness Lodge is really just themed very nicely, and it's centered around their swimming facilities, which are very, very nice. And they do have, and I think this is very cool, in their lobby they have the headwaters of a stream that bubbles up in the lobby and goes out through a grate in the wall of the lodge and flows down through some artificial rock sculpture stuff, which is very neat. It has little paths you can walk along it, and then that turns into a big waterfall that then falls into the swimming pools. And I think that's a very nice touch. It's very well done. It's very romantic at night. It's very relaxing. It's a nice place to go sit and just, you know, watch the water. And there's so much wildlife. All of Disney's like this. They're very good about wildlife, but I think the Wilderness Lodge is a little bit better than most. Obviously not as good as the Animal Kingdom Lodge, but the native wildlife is so good that there's tons of Floridian ducks, for example, that just hang out, and we saw many of them just come up on the top of the stream and then just float lazily down the stream towards the waterfall and kind of do this in a cycle, and we had a good time relaxing at the resort. Our hotel room was in the center area, so we actually had a view of the pool and the stream from the second floor, which is very nice. We enjoyed that. We spent a lot of time out on the balcony, which is something we learned last year when we went to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, that there's so much nice stuff about Disney that you can do without going into the parks, and it's so much more relaxing to take some time off and not worry about going to see everything, that we spent quite a bit of time doing that. We really enjoyed it. So we were very happy with our accommodations, and I'm not sure we would do it again compared to the Animal Kingdom Lodge. The Wilderness Lodge is definitely very nice in that it's very, very close. So you want to go to the Magic Kingdom, you want to get to other resorts, it's fast. But the Animal Kingdom Lodge was so awesome with the safari that it really gave you a place to go in your own resort where you could spend an entire day and not worry about going to the park. And I think if I was to pick, if I only had one resort that I could stay at in Disney, I lean towards the Animal Kingdom Lodge because of that. It's just such a great feature. And I do prefer the food at the Animal Kingdom Lodge a little bit over the Wilderness Lodge, but they're both really, really good there. You can't complain with either. So our first day, we decided that we arrived, and I'm actually reading Sheep Guarding Llama as I do this, trying to remind myself of exactly what we did, because it was just it was long enough ago, and it's such a blur, and I'm so exhausted now. I just worked a full day, and I'm pretty tired, but I want to get this out because it just needs to be done. So I worked on May 30th. I put in a really long day. I actually worked till 11:30 at night, which was horrible. And then we got up at 4:30 in the morning so that we could get out to Newark Liberty International Airport and fly down to Florida. Now, I should say, we've always flown AirTran in the past, and for some reason we got better rates this time on Continental. And let me tell you, direct flight with Continental with a great price, we were treated wonderfully. We had just a great flight. We were very happy with Continental. And on the way back, they actually gave us free four whiskeys just because they had them extra, and the flight was half empty, and they were just showing us a movie, and they wanted to get rid of them. And so they just gave it was it's really nice. We were just very impressed with how nice they were to us. And they gave us enough whiskey that we're like, well, we can't drink this. And they're like, oh, just take it home. So it's actually sitting on the fridge. So that was, we really had a good impression with them. And Dominica would not be happy if I did not mention, she used for the first time C-bands, which I had never heard of before. These are little acupressure bands. You wear them on your wrist and they press on an acupressure point on the inside of your wrist, and they work for seasickness, motion sickness, that kind of thing. So people who are flying or basically if you need to take Dramamine but you don't want to, you know, actually take medicine, this is a potential alternative. And I'm pretty sure that this was not going to work. We were not convinced that this was actually a good way to prevent motion sickness. But Dominica wore them both directions and did not get sick at all. Absolutely swears by them now, thinks they're the greatest thing, and definitely wants everyone to know that they're definitely worth trying out, even if you know, you don't think it's going to work for you. It's worth investigating, because they're not expensive and they're not medicinal. So very, very happy with that. So we landed at Orlando and we took the Disney's Magical Express, which is great. We just love having the Magical Express deal with everything, because it's actually run by Mears, which is the big bus service for all the resorts, but it's branded with Disney, and Mears does a great job, you know, no matter what. But having to just have a constant run to the Disney hotels, they take care of everything for you, and it just makes life very, very easy. And it's included when you stay at the Disney resort, so it's also free, which is pretty nice. So they took us to the resort on our first day, and we relaxed there for a little while. And then our first thing was to run down to the Animal Kingdom Lodge to get dinner. We had reservations at Boma, our favorite restaurant in Disney World, and it was very cool. It did take a while to get down there. We're not very impressed with how Disney's doing with their bus service recently. It seems that, especially with the Animal Kingdom Lodge, because it's so far away from everything, that they're having a really hard time getting people to and from that resort. They don't have enough buses on the route, they don't run frequently enough, and you can be stuck easily waiting an hour to get to your hotel. And when you're at a deluxe resort, that doesn't seem like that should happen. And people who want to go eat at deluxe resorts, because they have many of the best restaurants, are located out at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, it shouldn't be such a hassle getting out there. They should want people to get to and from quickly and get them back into the park spending money and not sitting on buses, which is not the best experience. Boma was awesome, as always. We actually had a really cool experience. We've been at Boma now often enough that we actually knew our waitress. She's originally from Buffalo, and we had her last year, and so it was pretty cool that we're like, hey, you're our waitress last year. And she's like, oh, I remember you. And that was kind of neat. You know, we eat at Boma way too much when that starts happening. So at that point, after dinner, we kind of had the evening to kill, and it was very warm, and I told Dominica that before we went, I'm like, this is really, really warm, we shouldn't be going, it's a really hot time of year, but she really wanted to go, because we're just not going to have a chance again until late next year. So we went anyway, and it was hot and humid, and it was just, oh, it was hot. So we weren't going to go into the park tonight, so we went over to the Disney Hollywood Studios, but we didn't go in. We just took the transportation to it, and from there we hopped on the boat over to the boardwalk. Dominic has never been to the boardwalk, so she wanted to see it, even if we weren't really going to have time to go do anything. We weren't really looking at staying out late or anything, so it was kind of an easy night. But it was really nice taking this lazy boat ride through a bunch of the areas that she's never seen, connected by water before, and over to the boardwalk. Now, I have to tell you, this is very neat, and we never did find out exactly what was going on. While we were waiting for the boat to the east, over the trees, there was a massive fire. I mean, there was a fire so big that there were multiple helicopters flying around it, and as we were riding the buses, everyone was watching this fire, and we couldn't actually see the flames, but the smoke was just huge. It was definitely, you know, a mile or more away. It was some distance, and we never found out what it was, but where we were waiting for the boat, right there at the Hollywood Studios boat launch, there was huge pieces of ash and like flakes of burnt wood raining down on us. We were in a position where the ash was falling, but the smoke was not at ground level. So we weren't like coughing from smoke or anything, but we were covered in big chunks of ash and burnt wood and paper. And it was something to see. It was a unique experience being that close to a fire that large and having the ash make it to you, but not the smoke. So it was completely comfortable, and the sky changed color, And it was interesting. Everything got really quiet from the size of the fire, but we never found out what it was. I checked on maps, and I checked the news. I was just never able to find out what it was. So we went to the boardwalk from there, and pretty much just walked the boardwalk. Took it really easy, kind of, you know, saw things we might want to do at some point in the future, but weren't really in the mood to do today. We got some ice cream at the Boardwalk Creamery and just sat down and relaxed. Then we hit the pastry shop there, the patisserie located on the boardwalk, and picked up some food for breakfast the next day. And then pretty much decided that we were going to call it a day. We were pretty tired, and we didn't really have any pressing need to do anything on that particular day. So we just took it easy and decided to head back to the hotel and get some sleep, which was a very big deal for us because we were just exhausted. So on June 1st, this would be, I believe this is Sunday. We went down on Saturday on May 31st. I guess I should have made that more explicit somewhere so even I would know what it was. But I took Monday and Tuesday off of work. So I had worked late on Friday. We went down Saturday. That was yesterday. And now on June 1st, Sunday, was our really big park day. This was our day we really dedicated to being in the parks all day and getting as much as we could done. So we hit Epcot first thing, which was nice. They had their early morning hours, so we went there, and most everything we always want to do is in Epcot. So we went there and did some cool stuff that we've been looking forward to. The big thing for both of us, really, is doing Spaceship Earth. Dominica's favorite ride is Spaceship Earth. It's not my favorite, but it's really good. I like it a lot. And what's happened recently with Spaceship Earth, traditionally it was sponsored by AT&T. This is probably for 20 years, it was sponsored by AT&T, and then in the last few years, they had dropped their sponsorship for it, and Disney's been looking for someone to pick that up, and fairly recently Siemens did that and decided that the ride was pretty old, and it definitely was dated. I remember riding on the ride in 87 when it was 5 years old and still the original everything, and up until pretty even last year, the only thing that I was aware of having changed in the ride was that the narration, the original narration, which I don't know who did that, was replaced with Jeremy Irons and a new script at some point right around the time that The Lion King came out. And then this time they went through, they did a whole cleaning, they replaced huge portions of the ride, the whole second half of the ride has been replaced, some really key pieces of the early part of the ride has been replaced, the script has been completely rewritten to be actually a different storyline to some degree, and it is now narrated by Judi Dench, which is very cool. I do miss Jeremy Irons, he did a great job with it, but Judi Dench also is awesome, but the updates are amazing, they really do make the ride a lot better, and the second half is, it used to be so bad, and now it's not great, but the improvement is pretty unbelievable, and we do recognize the fact that the second half of the ride, there's very, very little for the Imagineers to work with, so the fact that it's not exciting is not necessarily their fault, they have a tough time with it, but they did some really interesting stuff that I think worked out pretty well. I think people will like it a lot more, and children will be a lot more entertained by it than they used to be. So we were very happy with that. There was so much opportunity for bad things to have happened to the ride that we could have been very, very sad, but we ended up being very happy with it. We did our usual stuff. We rode the land, which I absolutely have to do several times every time we're in Disney World. I can't not do it. Several times it's my favorite thing. And we did ExxonMobil's Universe of Energy, which hasn't been updated in a long time and really needs to be. I'm not sure what needs to be done. The actual ride portion needs to be updated. The bit that they do with Ellen DeGeneres is great, but I think that needs to be updated, but I really hope they get Ellen back because she did such a great job. I don't really enjoy Bill Nye the Science Guy, and I think he really detracts from Ellen's bit of the show, but they had Jamie Lee Curtis in it and all these great people. Alex Trebek does it. It's really well done. I just wish some of it would be updated because the ride really is waning in popularity. It's always empty, and there just aren't enough people riding it. And it's a classic, and there's so much good stuff to it that I hope nothing bad happens to it, I guess. We skipped a lot of stuff after that. It was really, really hot, and we weren't looking forward to do anything that would involve lines or waiting too much. We just wanted to take it easy. We hit the big things that we really needed to do, and we didn't really have any plans beyond that. So this worked out perfectly, though. We went a bunch of places trying to figure out what we wanted to do for lunch, and it turned out we were too early. We did everything that we really wanted to do in Future World in Epcot, and we're done before the World Showcase even opened. And there's really no food. There is if you really need food, but if you're just looking for a good meal, you're kind of left with no options until the World Showcase opens. And most of those restaurants don't start serving food for a little while just because they need time to prep, and they know people can't get to them that quickly. So you kind of end up in the situation where there's no food if you aren't prepared to eat a little bit late at lunch in Epcot. And now that Epcot closes so early, they're actually starting to have problems with dinner, too, which is a huge shame because the whole Epcot experience is food and amazing dining experiences. I mean, there are so many amazing places to eat in Epcot, and not a lot of it, you know, there's good cuisine, but Epcot also offers this whole ambiance that varies from each place in the World Showcase to another, and you don't want to miss them, and yet it's so difficult. If you do a late lunch and an early dinner, or not a late dinner, I guess, you need to eat by like 7:30 or 8 before you start having problems. If you can do that, you're okay, but it does require planning, because you just can't wait on dinner too late, and you can't eat lunch too early. But it worked out as perfectly as I can imagine it ever working for us on this particular time. We waited just long enough, we walked around, and we came to the Mexico Pavilion. And I have always, since 1987 when I first went to Epcot, wanted to eat at the San Angel Inn in the Mexico Pavilion, which, for those those of you who have never been in the Mexico Pavilion, Mexico is a big pyramid, a Mayan pyramid or Aztec pyramid, I'm not really sure. and inside is, in the front, there's a little kind of museum thing. It's a little, they have exhibits that change from season to season, so it's kind of a little museum thing. It's very small, but it's cute, and it's a nice introduction to the culture of Mexico, and it adds for some interest for people, you know, like us. You know, we go there often enough that we always take the time to go around the museum piece and see what new is on exhibit, and this time they're doing the wood animal carvings of Oaxaca, which was very cool. And then you go in, and there's like a little open-air market all inside. So it feels like an open-air market, but you're actually inside the pyramid. And then down below this open-air market is the San Angel Inn, which is this really, really cool restaurant in very traditional, what I consider Mexico City styling, like riverfront in Mexico City. And then down to the left is like a little waiting area. You go down, and there's a boat launch that takes you out on the what used to be the Rio del Tiempo, the Rivers of Time ride, and I believe the waterway is still called the Rio del Tiempo, but it's the Grand Fiesta Tour is the name of the ride now. They've redone it in recent years, and it's a big improvement. It's still not the most exciting of rides, but it is a very pleasant ride. But the really cool bit is right at the boat launch point. The boat starts off and goes into this kind of, it's a very, very small body of water inside this pyramid, but this is like this little lake, and on your left there's this pyramid drawn as if it's off in the background, and you're very much in the dark, and you sail right past the people eating at the San Angel Inn, and the ambiance is one of, if not the best, places in all of Disney World, and I do not do it justice by describing it here. When you actually go there and you sail past all these people eating, it really makes you feel like it's late at night and you're in Mexico City, and this is a really, really fancy Mexico City restaurant, and you're actually getting a gondola ride on one of the waterways there, and it's just gorgeous. And I've always wanted to eat there with the boats going by and the candles on the table and the great food, and it just never worked out. And I should point out, this is a fairly large restaurant with, I can only imagine, around 100 tables or so, and only, you know, 10 or 12 of those get to be waterfront. So while I've always wanted to eat there, the realistic point is that I probably would never get to eat at the waterfront. So we saw that it was open, and I begged Dominic. I'm like, I really want to eat here. It's lunch. This is our chance. We don't have any plans. We don't know where else we're going to eat. And she's like, all right, we'll see if we can get in, because everything was booked at that point. Because of the new the Disney dining plans have changed everything, and getting into restaurants is impossible now anywhere all the time. Just everything's booked all the time. They're building new restaurants to deal with this, but right now you can't eat if you don't have reservations. And we went in. And she was able to get reservations for like 45 minutes after we were there. And but they said, you know, come back in like half an hour. Maybe we can squeeze you in. And so we went. We did a couple things. And we went back. And right as we went in, the only two-person table on the waterfront opened up. And they walked us right up to it and sat us down. And we had the most amazing meal sitting right on the water. It was one of those moments I will always remember. I was so excited that I got to do it. And I know it doesn't sound like a big thing, but I've been wanting to do this for 21 years to eat at this particular table. And I finally got to do it. And it's, I'm sure the tables will change over time, but it was the very front left table in the corner. So right as the boats come out, right on the water, I sat facing the boat launch, and Dominica sat facing kind of the open expanse of the lake. So she actually had the better view, I think, but I kind of got to see the boats coming out. And there's nothing vegetarian on their menu, but Disney is very good about vegetarian food. And so, and this is, you know, a really nice restaurant. This isn't, you know, counter service or anything like that. So when our waiter came over, we just said, you know, we'd really like something vegetarian. And he said, our chef has a specialty that he does, if that's something you'd like. And of course, they'll do, you know, whatever you want. But we decided to go for the chef's vegetarian specialty, which wasn't on the menu, and we are so happy. It was delicious, and we actually got to see it before we ate it, because the woman at the table next to us had ordered it, and they pointed it out to us, but it was delicious. So it was just a great meal with the absolute perfect table with this great ambiance. After 21 years, I was just so happy that we got to do that. So that was one of the all-time highlights of my trips to Disney World over the years. So we were pretty excited. And then after that, we just pretty much walked a little bit around the World Showcase and decided to go home. We took some pictures. We went through Norway, and there was a Norwegian folk band playing some live music, and we just sat down for maybe 20 minutes and listened to them, which is very cool. It's one of those cool Disney things that I think a lot of people skip. They skip the live music, and they skip the impromptu acrobatic shows and you know, crazy things that go on, especially in Epcot. There's so much live entertainment, and everybody just walks by or ignores it, and it's really sad, because there's just some really great stuff that goes on that if you take the time to enjoy it, you get a lot more out of your experience, and that's a lot of what you're paying for when you're at Disney World. So from there, it was just too hot. We couldn't take the heat. We went back and slept, actually, at the Wilderness Lodge for several hours, because we had dinner reservations at Artist Point, which is one of the signature restaurants in Disney World, which are the very top tier. There's one restaurant, Victoria and Albert's, which is just head and tails above head and tails. That's not a what was that? Head and shoulders above all the other restaurants. Victoria and Albert's at the Grand Floridian Beach Resort. That's their 5-star restaurant. It's impossible to get in. It's just supposed to be amazing. But then just under that, they have a number of the Disney Signature restaurants, which are the group of top restaurants. And then they have the deluxe full-service restaurants under that, which, I mean, they're pretty close, but the signatures do cost more. They do take more dining plan points, and Artist Point is pretty famous at this point for being one of the best, if not the best, of the signature restaurants. So we had reservations there. We were the very first table to be seated right at 5:30, and it was right in our hotel, which is very nice, and we went up. And it is a beautiful restaurant, absolutely amazing, and the wait staff was incredible, and they have a constantly changing menu, as you would expect, and I was able to get Copper River salmon, which was unbelievable, just incredibly delicious. Everything with the meal was great. We had a wonderful time. We were just very happy. It's a great place. And the thing is it's not necessarily good for family dining. This is a very fancy restaurant. But the food really was amazing and very worth it, in our opinion. And the views were nice, looking down over the pools and the river flowing through that. And we had a good time. We're very glad that we went. And it was a very good dining experience. After eating our dinner, we actually then headed that late. Probably around 7 o'clock, we actually headed to the Magic Kingdom. And we actually had enough time to go into the Magic Kingdom starting at 7 o'clock at night and do absolutely everything that we wanted to do in the Magic Kingdom several times over. We rode every ride we could possibly have wanted to do, some that we were kind of sorry that we did. We started doing things like the Country Bear Jamboree, which I have not done since 1987, and it's really bad. It's incredibly boring. The sound is awful. You can't understand a word that's being said. All the speakers are blown out, and the PA is turned way too loud for the quality of the equipment, so it's all distorted, and it hurts your ears, and everything's dirty and dusty, and it's really sad because the Country Bear Jamboree is a classic, and it was all stuff built for the original River Country ride that they never did, and so it's got a lot of history behind it, and people just, you know, the idea of it was so cute, and I remember loving it when I was a kid, and I'm sure kids still do, but seeing it now as an adult was depressing that is now my memory of the Country Bear Jamboree. It's really too bad. But we did get to do things like Pirates of the Caribbean. We didn't get to do Jungle Cruise. It did have a long line, and we just decided it wasn't worth it. We've done it enough in the past. We can quote every joke. We know exactly what the ride does, so we skipped it because it just didn't fall below our weight threshold for the evening. But we did do Liberty Square, or in Liberty Square, I should say. We did the Haunted Mansion, which has been redone. Just opened a few weeks before we made it, or maybe a few days before we made it, and they redid a bunch of the stuff, so it's a little bit scarier than before, and a bunch of the effects have been fixed up, and a bunch of the kind of rickety stuff. The ride was getting old, and they fixed a lot of it up. It's still very much the same ride. You will not be disappointed if you enjoyed the original ride. They did not take that away, but they have fixed some things, they've added some things, they've taken a few bad things away, and for the most part, it's a pretty big update. I'm sure that cost them a fortune, and it definitely did make the ride better. I've never been a huge fan of just horror-themed rides in general, but this one's always been, you know, a classic and very well done, and I think most people will continue to enjoy it, and definitely find that the updates were positive. So we just did a bunch of our standard stuff, and of course the Carousel of Progress, which we just love. Oh, it's so good. Possibly the oldest ride, I think, in all of Disney, having been made for the World's Fair before Disneyland even opened. It wasn't changed, so it's the ride that we already knew, but we just can never pass it up. We did ride Buzz Lightyear again, and last year I beat Dominica every time we rode it, and by no small margin, but she will be very happy that I'm telling you that she did beat me on Buzz Lightyear's Space Adventure game this year. We only rode it once, and she did beat me. She didn't make me drive, which is much harder to play when you're driving, but she did beat me legitimately, and so I am telling you, so if she talks to you, you tell her that I told you that she beat me. And it does say it on the website as well. If you go to Sheep Cutting Llama and look it up, yeah, I admitted that she beat me. At that point, we pretty much did everything we wanted to do. We were heading out. We were about to head back to the Wilderness Lodge to get some rest. And as we were heading out, we're walking through Tomorrowland, and we had plenty of time to go do more rides. We couldn't decide if we wanted to do anything, and we saw this Monsters, Inc. laugh floor. And we said, well, you know, it's a ride we haven't done, and it's comedy. We'll probably enjoy it, even if it's boring. You know, we're like, all right, fine. So we went up, we asked someone, we're like, what's the wait like? Like, you can go right in. We're like, okay. So we decided that we were going to give it a try, and we are so glad that we did. We went in, and we could not go right in. I don't know what they were talking about. We did have to wait about 20 minutes, and this is one of the big mistakes that Disney makes, is having a big slanted floor for places where you have to wait, because it kind of hurts your ankles, and it makes people really, really antsy and upset before they go into a ride. Just, they do this with Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, and I think they do it in the hopes that it's so painful you forget how bad the ride was. Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, because the wait is actually better than the ride, and the wait is the worst one in all of the parks. But the whole thing's horrible. But Monsters, Inc., the wait is really boring and uncomfortable, but the actual attraction itself is hilarious and very well done. We were so impressed with the way that this was done. And what it is that you actually sit in a comedy club, and they have audio animatronics and some video effects and stuff that are the characters that you kind of interact with. And it's live with actual live actors in some hidden room that are powering the monsters that you see on stage. So that while the monsters on stage are just puppets and videos, there's actually real actors with real voices that you're hearing. And so the jokes are live, and they're actually interacting with the audience, and they randomly pick people out of the audience to be part of the show, and they'll like turn a spotlight on you and put a camera on you, and you end up on the big screen, and this interactive thing was very interesting, and it was very well done, and the people doing the show were very, very funny. And the whole thing was, we really enjoyed it. It was far too short, I must say. It was only maybe 10 minutes long, and it would have been better if it was about, 15 to 20 minutes, considering how long we had to wait, and how much time is spent getting in and out of the thing. You were just really getting into it, and how funny it was, and then suddenly it was over. There was too much setup and not enough meat of the ride, but great idea, very well done. If you're in Disney World, definitely go do that. And then that was it. We decided to call it a night. We were pretty exhausted by that point. It was a long day. But it was good. We had a good time, and we did all the stuff that we really needed to do. Now, the next day, this would be Monday. The parks were pretty empty, which worked out really well for us because I was off of work. We actually went out and started the day at Disney's Hollywood Studios because the Hollywood Studios had the extra magic hours that morning, so we had plenty of time to go do the things we wanted to do. And at Hollywood Studios, it's very, very hot because it's all ice, just concrete everywhere. So if you can do it early in the morning, it's great. And there aren't very many attractions there, so unless you're really addicted to the Hollywood Studios style rides, get in, do your stuff, get out, you'll be much happier. The only reason we were going to Hollywood Studios, because we're not really fans of the whole Hollywood Studios thing at all, is because Toy Story Mania has opened there, and we've heard great things about it. We're really interested in trying it out, and we heard it was a lot like the Buzz Lightyear ride in Magic Kingdom, which we really liked last year. So, something new, we've got to go do it, and, being as casual as we are with Disney now, blowing half a day just to do one ride is not a big deal. And, no kids with us, so it's not like we're keeping anyone entertained. And there's a restaurant, the Hollywood Brown Derby, we've heard great things about. We really wanted to go check that out as well. And we were able to get early reservations there in Hollywood Studios. So it all worked out. There were a couple things we really wanted to do, and other than that, we just wanted to relax. So we got right in, and there was a bit of a wait to get into Toy Story Mania, even as early in the morning as we got there, but it wasn't too bad. And they've definitely done a great job with line management, and the line itself was pretty entertaining, and they have, we learned about this from Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor the night before. They have Mr. Potato Head, this huge Mr. Potato Head in the middle of the line. That's an animated plastic animatronic, but there's a real person powering it part of the time. Part of the time it's on auto, and it just says funny things to random people in the line, and probably even when there's no one there. But a lot of the time there's a person actually looking through a video camera and talking to people in the audience and like making fun of people as they go through the line. So it really makes the line move a lot faster because the line itself is part of the attraction. So that was a great idea on Disney's part. And they can, you only have to have someone there part of the time to make it pretty effective. And then the ride itself was really interesting because what they did was they took the idea of like Nintendo Wii kind of short carnival games where you're doing you're holding a gun and you're shooting at stuff in a carnival for like you know points like knocking the ducks over or whatever. But they did it so you wear 3D glasses and you ride in a moving car that moves you from vignette to vignette within the game. And it's a little bit hard to explain, but the combination of real-world movement with 3D video and handheld, really interactive gun kind of things that you use to shoot at stuff, we had so much fun on this ride. It's too bad it had a long line. We would have just gone back through over and over again. It was, this is how video games will be in not too long. But it was incredibly well done. We were just very impressed. I do fear that it will be dated very quickly. And that's going to be, they may be sorry that they did a ride that's so based on current technology and so close to what people are doing at home, but at the moment it's definitely very fun. We had a great time. After that we went and did the Great Movie Ride, which is, you know, the classic thing in Hollywood Studios. All the classic Disney animatronics and the big dark ride, all the incredible artwork, and just all those things that Disney World is known for. And of course, it was great. It is dated. They do need to do some stuff to bring that more up to date. I did find it interesting. We were riding the ride, and it wasn't too packed, and there were some girls sitting next to me who were probably late teens, maybe pushing 20, and they were definitely completely lost. They didn't know a single one of the movies that the Great Movie Ride takes you through, you know, Indiana Jones and, of course, now I forget the names of some of them. The classic films. Just, I'm complete blank, I apologize, but tons of classic films like Casablanca and Public Enemy Number 1 and Fantasia, those movies, and so many of these girls just had no idea what the movies were about, and at one point during Fantasia, they even leaned over to me and asked what they were talking about, because this was a Disney movie, they had no idea what it was, and never seen it. So I do fear that the Great Movie Ride, being so much about like classic literature, just in the cinema sense, may have left a lot of modern America behind, because so few people know the classics anymore that it may be wasted on them. So that was kind of sad. After the ride, we decided that we just wanted to relax and stay cool because it was hot out. We went to the ABC commissary and sat for a long time until it was time for our lunch at the Hollywood Brown Derby. We ate at 11:40 at the Hollywood Brown Derby. Food was very good. Definitely not the level of, say, BOMA or Artist Point, but it was a very nice restaurant. If you're in the Hollywood Studios, a great place to eat. Highly recommended. A very nice setting. And it is, of course, the classic replica of the famous Hollywood Brown Derby. So eating there is a neat experience just because it really draws you into the whole classic Hollywood theme that they've got going on. It's very cool. After Hollywood Studios, we went back to Epcot just because we really didn't have any other plans. And it was not quite as hot, so we wanted to go do stuff. It was in the 90s, though. When I say not quite as hot, it was hot. We did Spaceship Earth again. We did The Land. And then I convinced Dominica that we had so much time to kill, and it was so warm, that we did the hour-long walking tour of the greenhouses, the behind-the-scenes tour, which I've done several times now, but it's always just so much fun, and you learn so much. And we always, I've had interns and researchers and the managers ahead of the entire facility at different times giving the tour, so it's different every time, and very, very nice. The O Canada Pavilion, we went there, the Canada Pavilion and the O Canada movie that they show there. That was updated recently, and we watched that with Martin Short narrating, which was better than you would imagine. Martin Short does tend to ruin whatever he does, and this was not nearly as awful as it could have been. It was not as good as it would have been had it not been Martin Short, but it was not as bad as Martin Short normally is. They did, though, in the movie say that, and I decided I'm addicted to making corrections wherever I can, that Montreal is the second largest French-speaking city, Francophone city, in the world after Paris. But, of course, they got that wrong, because Paris is not the largest Francophone city. It's the second largest. Montreal is the third largest. Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of the Congo is the largest French-speaking city in the world. Not a lot of research went into that, apparently. I think they just kind of said, well, Montreal's this big, Paris is this big, we don't really know any other famous French-speaking cities. And I think that's how they based it, I don't know. We ate at the Rose and Crown pub there in England, which was very, very good. They took our favorite thing off the menu, though. They had this, they called it a pot pie, a rutabaga pot pie or something last year. It was actually vegetables Wellington, but no one in the U.S. knows what Wellington is, so they didn't call it that. But they took it off the menu. We were very sad. But we ate there anyway, and while it rained, it just poured while we were there, which was nice because everything cooled down, and we felt so much better after that. And so we walked around for a while more. We ate at the Norwegian Bakery, which is like our classic thing, and had the almond-covered pretzels and shul bread. And then pretty much we called it a night. Very early. We just gave up on the parks. It was just too hot, and we just had no need to push and do more. So we headed back and took it easy. Then June 3rd was our final day in the park. We slept in very late and just relaxed, and our goal for the day was relaxing. We ordered in room service, and we hung out in the Wilderness Lodge and just enjoyed the fact that we were in a very nice resort. And we called down and said, you know, we'd really like to kind of stay late rather than, you know, getting out of here early. And they gave us a really late checkout, which was awesome. And we just had a great time. We spent a lot of time on the balcony and doing nothing. And couldn't have really asked for more. We checked out, and we were all ready to go. We were just waiting for the Disney bus to take us on the way back to the airport. And we had time to eat, and we were down in the lobby, and we had heard some really good things about the Whispering Canyon Cafe. Now, the Whispering Canyon Cafe is the kind of the family-level restaurant. It's a full-service restaurant, but it's really geared towards family. It's incredibly child-friendly. It is, you know, big portions, far lower prices, not like a signature restaurant at all. That artist point, completely different. You don't dress up to go to the Whispering Canyon. You wear shorts and, you know, whatever you're in, and very low-key, but it's right in the lobby, so you're, like, open to the whole lobby of the Wilderness Lodge. So we decided to see if we could get in there, and it was not busy at all, and we were able to walk right in, and had really good food. The whole experience was great. The food was excellent, and one of the coolest things is they have all you care to eat or drink, as the case may be, ice cream floats, and they have really cool flavors. I had bubble gum, but they also had a cotton candy, and then chocolate and vanilla and strawberry, and they change all the time. And it's a really fun experience. If you've got kids, or even if you're just, you know, looking for a fun place to go eat, check out the Whispering Canyon Cafe. It's not too expensive, very low-key, but the people are just fun and interactive and excited to be working there. And it was really good. We were very, very happy with that. The flight home went pretty well. We were on Continental. Everything was great. We got to watch the Spiderwick Chronicles on the flight, which I never get to see movies on flights, so that worked out. It was a movie I wanted to see, but I sure wasn't going to run out and, like, buy or anything. It was good. It passed the time really quickly, and we were home. It was a good trip. We enjoyed it. We were looking forward to having a year and a half off and then doing Disney right again late next year. So thanks for tuning in to the Sheep Grunting Llama podcast. I'm sorry that it took so long again, and I'm just going to have to keep apologizing time after time because it is tough to get these podcasts out. But I will try to keep bringing them to you, and I know that people really enjoy listening to them, and that it makes a really interesting kind of counterpoint to the SGL website, which we have, you know, 80 to 100 readers a day right now who check out, you know, every day reading the site, and this is a little bit something extra for them. And I know we haven't had very much music recently. I'm not going to apologize, but we are going to take you out this time with the song. This has been, I have to tell you, I added this to our To Be Played list on November 13th, 2005. So this has been sitting here for almost 3 years waiting for you to listen to it. But this is the Night Tales of a Fairy by Fumitaka Anzai. So I hope you enjoy, and I hope to speak to you again soon.